We had in the last Mishnah, you recall, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, that on Sheni Chamishi and Shabbos Mincha, we call up three kruim. And the Gemara quotes two opinions as to what the significance of the number three is. Now let's just mention that the connection between the number three and Torah is the subject of an Agadata in Shabbos Daf Peches, Brich Rachmona Diyoev Orian Tlisoi. And we bless Hashem because He gave the Torah with the number three. So the number three repeats itself over and over again. The Gemara gives various examples of the number three. But one of the later examples is Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. They represent a certain trio. And the Gemara mentions Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. That's also three. And Torah, Nevim, Uksuvim. It seems that in Matan Torah, there was an Asina of Tlisai. At Har Sinai, there was three. Torah, Nevim, Uksuvim. And it means that Torah itself incorporates Kedushas, Nevim, Uksuvim as well. And perhaps when Rava says that the number three is Keneged Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, he means to say that in the Kriya itself, we need Gimel Kruim because the Torah was given to an Am Tlisai, to a nation that's comprised of three, of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. So the Dinim of Kriya Satorah are equal to the dinim of Nesina Sator Bar Sinai. And the Gemara here in Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph of an Aleph derives from Sinai that we stand for the Kriya Sator. In fact, according to the Maharam Rutenberg, and there are many who are machmir for his shita, the entire call has to stand at the time of Kriya Sator. Just like at the time of Nesina Sator, the people of Israel stood around Har Sinai. So we see that the makeup of Torah and its Kedusha is complex. It's made up of different dimensions. And the number three repeats itself over and over again. The Mitzvah Hashem will come back to this idea of Gimel Kruim a little bit later on. I just want to mention that on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, whether it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, we read Megillas Rus, we read Koheles, we read Shir Shirim, the Minigis, to be Makdim, the Kriyas HaMegillah, before Kriyas HaTorah. And the question is why? Why is that so? Why is Kriyas HaMegillah before Kriyas HaTorah? We usually assume that Tadav Shena Tadav Tadav Korim, and therefore the Din would have it that we should be Makdim first Kriyas HaTorah, and only after that Kriyas HaMegillos. Kriyas HaTorah is Tadira. So why do we switch it around? And we have a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos on Kuf Tes Vav called Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin Osan Mipnei Adleika Bein She'korim Bahen Bein She'ein Korim Bahen. The Gemara explains Korim Bahen means Nevi'im and Ein Korim Bahen means Ksuvim. Rashi explains Bein She'ein Korim Bahen Kon Ksuvim for Rabbeinu HaLevi Omer Shafil Yechidim Ein Korim Bahen Kirektani Taima Mishum Bittul Beis HaMedrash Demishcha Libi U'Beshabbos Yidorosh and Drosh Alav Alavatim Shoskim B'Molocha Kol Yimos HaChol Ubisocha drosha, you morim lehen, halachos, isa veheta, vetovlem shiishmu, milikros ksuvim. So it seems clear from the Gemara that there's a concept called bitul beis hamedrash and isa drabbana, not to read ksuvim, because of mishchei libe, v'isbatel. As a result, they won't participate in the limit of halachos of hilchos isa veheta. If that be the case, then perhaps we could suggest that this Issur d'Rabbanan of not learning Ksuvim on Shabbos doesn't begin until after Kriyas HaTorah, because the Iker Mitzvah of the Kiyum of Mitzvahs Talmud Torah Barabim is Kriyas HaTorah, and that Kriya is Mechayeves that generates a Chiyuv of Drasha, of the Drasha Limud Torah Shebaal Peh. So you start with Limud Torah Shebichsav and then you go to Limud Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Kriyas HaTorah is what generates the Issur of Lima B'Ksuvim, and therefore we should read the Megillah Dafka before Kriyas HaTorah, because at that point it's still Mutter to be Kore B'Ksuvim. So one of the things that we learned while you were gone is a Mishnah Megillah on Daf Chafal from Midbeis that establishes that we have to call up a minimum of 3 kruim on Sheni Chamishi and Shabbos and Mincha.
Right.
And the Gemara quotes 2 opinions as to why. What's the significance of number 3? Rabbi Asi says, Keneged Torah Nevi'im U'Ksuvim. And Rava says, Keneged Kohanim Levi'im V'Yisraelim. So in other words, we need Gimel Aliyos L'Torah. And according to the first Man D'Yomer, that's Rav Asi, is Keneged Torah Nevi'im U'Ksuvim. So I have here in front of me a sefer, I don't know if you're familiar with, called Shi'urei HaRav. And this was put out by Rabbi Menachem Knack.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So he claims that according to the Rav, and this has really serious implications, la halacha, that what's the shaykhus between Nevi'im and Ksuvim and Kriyas HaTorah? Torah is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And Rav Salvechik wanted to derive from this Gemara that the Torah itself incorporates, comprises all 3 Kedushas. There are 3 entities of Kedusha. There's Kedushas Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And the Torah itself has within it all 3. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is not inferior to the Nevuah of other Nevi'im. And therefore, the Torah itself has a Kedushas Nevi'im. Torah also has the Kedusha of Ksuvim, Yesh B'chal Masai Mada, because it's no different, no inferior than all of Kisvei HaKodesh. And therefore, the Gemara wants to say that you call up Gimel Olim, Keneged Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, in order to, so to speak, demonstrate that all 3 Kedushas are included in the Torah itself. Rava says that you call 3 Kruim because of Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim. Chazinon, he says, the Mad Kohen Ol the Torah. Why is it that we call up the Kohen first? That's not just the Kiyum of Ikidashto, as the Gemara explains in Gittin, but it's more than that. It's part of the Etzem, it's part of the essential Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, the Rav comes to the following conclusion, that if there's no Kohen, if let's say there's a Kohen, but you want to give the kibbutz to somebody else, let's say because they're having some sort of a simcha, then it's not right to tell the Kohen to leave in order to give the other person the aliyah. The Kohen maybe, perhaps, could be mochel on his own covet of the kiddashto, but here there's another element, and that is the Torah itself, meaning the nature of the takana of Kriyas HaTorah. And if the Kohen is part of that takana, he doesn't have bailus to be mochel if he wants to give that covet to someone else. So that is an interesting repercussion. So
in terms of if there's no Kohen, call up a lady Kohen. If I remember correctly, the Rav didn't do, is that the one he didn't want to do? I forgot which one. But I think he was mocked not to do that. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember why.
Maybe he felt that, you know, there would be confusion or something along that line, since Kedushas Levi'im and Kedushas Kohanim.
I know.
This I thought was fascinating on 2 levels. Number 1, to explain Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, that it's all part of Kriyas HaTorah, that the Torah itself has encompasses the Kedusha of Nevi'im Ksuvim. And number 2, that this idea, according to Rava, that the first Aliyah is a Kohen, that's not just because of Kiddushto, that's part of the Etzem Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah. Then I found something else very, very interesting here, which I wanted to share with you. And that is the Balamor's kasha. The Balamor is bothered by the Mishnah that we're studying now in Megillah Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah lists all the cases that require asara. And one of the cases that lechora require asara, which we'll explain in a minute, is Kriyas HaMegillah. And it doesn't appear, it's omitted from the Mishnah. That's the Balamor's kasha. Now, what does it mean that Megillah requires asara? So this is sugi that we learned back on Daf Gimel. The Gemara quotes Machlokas between Rav Asi and Rav. And Rav Asi says that Megillah Bein Bizmana Bein Shelo Bizmana Basara. And the Rif holds that that's Likuva. That means if a person reads the Megillah, then there's no Asara, according to at least the Sheet of Rav Asi, then he's not Yotze. And not only that, even according to Rav, who holds that you can have Kriyas HaMegil B'Yachid without a Tzibur, without a Sarav, nevertheless he agrees that in the case of Megillah Shalobiz Mana, like Yud Alef, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel for the Kvarim, that requires Asara evenly Kuva, the way the Rif understands it. The Balmor wants to prove against the Rif that the requirement of Asara is only Lechatchila, and that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah enumerates all those mitzvahs that require Asara Likuva. But according to the Rif, the Megillah, the Kriyas HaMegillah requires Asara Likuva. And that's true according to Rav Asi, Bein Mizman and Bein Shalom Mizman in the Rif's frame of reference, or according to Rav, at least the Megillah Shalom Mizman. So we do have another case where clearly everybody agrees according to the Rif that you have to have Asara. So why was Kriyas HaMegillah omitted from the Mishnah? That's the Baal Mor's Kash. So the Ramban in Melchamas Hashem gives the following answer. He says that Kol Ashnuyim B'Mishnah Seinu, anything included in this list on the Mishnah, Kulam Chovos HaTzibur Hein, they're all obligations incumbent upon the Tzibur, and the only Mechuyav is the Tzibur. But Ein Eila, in other words, the individuals, Ein Mechuyav B'Dov, they're not Chayav. Avon Megillah is Kol Yochid V'Yochid Chayav, but the Yochid Shalokara he says that in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, each Yochid is Chayav in Kriyas HaMegillah. It's very possible that he cannot fulfill his obligation unless he gathers together a Tzibur, and he needs Asar for Pirsum HaNes. But nevertheless, he certainly is obligated as a Yochid. The Ramban goes on and adds another point. He says, Ubein sheyatzu hein, those the other nine people that he gathers in order to fulfill his obligation, may have already fulfilled their chiyuv of Megillah. They heard the Megillah, or shelo yatzu, or they didn't hear the Megillah. In either event, korin biyut lahotzi hayochid. Masha'ein came b'shar kol mitzvahs. When we need asara, it means that these asara have to be yotzei yedei chol.
A rove of some type.
Correct. That's what we're going to talk about soon. A rove. Oh, so the Rav summarizes the Ramban, and the Ramban says Choluk Kriyas HaMegillah. Megillah is different, even Shalom Bizman according to Rav. She'ein Korin Osa B'Pachos Me'asor Me'elu Ashnuyim V'Mesnisa D'Tzarach Asor. The Kriyas HaMegillah Avichomus Yochid Rak De'Ofen Hakiyum Hu Dafka Basor. No, it's according to the Shita or Shalom Bizman according to Rav. The only way you can fulfill that mitzvah, so that's the condition, is if you gather together Asor. Masha'enkein Elu Shanishnu V'Mishnasenu Havichomos HaTzibur V'Einon Klal Chiyuv Al HaYochid El Rak Al HaTzibur. That's the way the Rav understands the Ramban, and therefore the Mishnah is definitely, you know, you can put all the cases of the Mishnah on one side and Kriyas HaMegillah on the other side, and there's a fundamental distinction between the two.
There's nothing else that requires an individual.
Yeah, there are other things. I was thinking, for example, Birchas HaGomel, the Gemara says you need Asara. But that's certainly a chometz yachid. I mean, the other nine people have nothing to do with the obligation. No, I left the hospital. I have to make that bro.
That's a yachid that you wouldn't expect. I mean, you expect only a yachid to do that. It's Megillah. We expect everybody to be with Megillah. I mean, I'm saying I can see that distinction. As you wouldn't expect to put that in the Mishnah about a yachid.
What do you mean, like Birchas HaGomel? You mean?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Even though you need a sorrow, but it's clearly a chometz yachid. The chiddush of the Ramban is that Megillah is a chometz yachid, right, even if you need a sorrow. I'll give you another example. The Gemara says in Ksuvus that the Chassan has to be Mavarach Sheva Brachos, but he cannot do so unless he gathers together 10 people. And the Gemara derives it from.
I was just going, so that he's implying that's a mitzvah,
it's a Chiyuv on the Yachid? Yeah, it's a Chiyuv on the Yachid, but the Gemara derives from Boaz. It says by Boaz, Vayikach Asara Zukeda Mianche Ha'ir. Vayomer Teshvu Po, and the Gemara says Teshvu Po, so I can recite the brachos. So clearly, Boaz has the chassid, he's about to marry Ruth, he has to recite the brachos, but he needs 10 people to fulfill that chiyuv. And that's
the other 7 days, or?
It could be all 7 days, that's his chiyuv. Well, maybe it's not a chiyuv, maybe it's a kiyuv, but certainly it's his responsibility. So we're just giving examples. You came in a minute late, Eric, we were discussing the Ramban. The Ramban says that Kriyas HaMegillah is not listed in our Mishnah, even if you hold it, you need Asara. Why? Because Kriyas HaMegillah is a Chovas Yachid, every individual is Chayav HaMegillah, he may need Asara in order to implement this Chiyuv, but it's his personal Chiyuv. Whereas the Rabban holds the Kriyas HaTorah and all the rest, is the Chiyuv is incumbent on the Tzibur, not on the Yachid. When you have a Tzibur gathering together, and they haven't fulfilled that mitzvah, they're Chayav.
Well, but Megillah, you only need the 10 to say the bracha, but...
Well, that's the sugya. I'm not going to go over the sugya again, but Ravasi says that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah unless you have 10.
Right. Okay.
Rav says only Megillah Shalom is
right.
requires
we,
10.
Right. Only right.
But so I'm not going through all those details, but I just
but we
want,
hold that. I mean, we posit that it's today.
I'm mentioning that on the side, but my main point here is that the Ramban holds that everything listed in our Mishnah, Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, is all a Chovas Tzibur, and the exception to that rule would be Kriyas HaMegillah. That's why it's omitted from the Mishnah, because Kriyas HaMegillah is a Chovas Yachid. I have to make sure that I fulfill my obligation.
Got it.
Okay. Now, I have here an article in a book called Shiurei HaRav, which is based on Rav Soloveitchik, and I've been looking for this book for a long time. I finally found it, and I got very excited when I found it. Because sure enough, he quotes our Tosfos in Megillah Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. So let's take a look in Tosfos again, which we learned the other day, Chav Gimel Amid Beis. And Tosfos, Dibra Masa Lien Parson Al Shema, quotes, let's just count up how many different opinions. The question is, for Parson Al Shema and for Chazor Sashatz, Kedusha, Kaddish, and all the rest, how many people do you need that haven't yet heard the Kaddish and the Baruch? So he quotes first Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says the Shiva. You need at least 7 people who haven't heard Kedusha, Kaddish, and Baruch, etc., etc. Then if you skip down, he says Yesh Omrim Dafilu B'Shisha. That's enough that you have 6. Then Rabbeinu Tam elsewhere, not the Rabbeinu Tam that's quoted before, but in the Sefer Yosha, he writes Bechamisha. All you need is 5. So already we have 3 shitas. And then Tosfos himself writes 2 lines below that, nearly Afilu B'Shlosha. All you need is 3. And then if you skip down a little bit later, he says Talmidei Rashi Pirshu Mishmo Dafilu B'Shvil Echad. That it's enough to have one. To have one person. So we have the following possibilities. If you go from the minimum to the maximum, you can have 1, you can have 3, you can have 5, you can have 6, and you can have 7. Those are the shitas in Tosfos.
Is this, the Chazarat HaShatz people try to do with 6 people or...
That's this Tosfos, right? They accept this Tosfos in the opinion of who is it, Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yoshua, who says 6. Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik, believe it or not, wants to take a stab at this whole sugya and try to figure out.
I remember you saying, hey, "I wish I had this," because I know he has it.
You remember that? And I finally found the Sefer. I'm telling you, I've been looking for it for hours. I finally found it. Because I remember that when I read it, I was very impressed. Because honestly, when I see a sugya like this, I don't even know where to begin. So he says the following: Ashenir lefarish bi'elu hashitot. He says the following after he summarizes all the various shitot. He says, let's group them into two basic categories. One category, one group holds that you don't need. You don't need even a rov, meaning you don't even need a tzibur. You might even suffice with 1 or 3 or 5. 5 is also not a rov. Shadayin lo shamu. And he says the following: this group, right, that has 1, 3, and 5, they hold the amiras kaddish ubarchu havichovas yachid. That the chiyuv is incumbent on the individual. I'm chayiv in kaddish and baruch. I have to hear kaddish. I have to hear baruch. Lachem, af she'ein hatzibur chayovim, or certainly not rov hatzibur, because the maximum here yet is the sheet of 5. Adai yicholim lomar davar shebegedusha im yesham asara. No, the chiyuv is the chiyuv yachid, but I cannot fulfill it except in the presence of a tzibur. Okay, so again, we haven't gone into the details about the difference between 1, 3, and 5, but what's common to all these is that it's a chovis yachid. Now we have the other category of 6 or 7. Savri, they hold Avichovas Tzibur, that I'm not chayiv in Kedusha as an individual, or Baruch Hu. I'm only part of a Tzibur that's chayiv as a collective entity. V'tzarch Rov Tzibur, you need Rov Tzibur. Oh, okay, there's another Shita which we didn't even mention, Kula, that you need 10 people that didn't hear Kaddish. So this is three against three, right? What do I mean? I have on one side of the equation, I have three shitos that belong to the Chovas Yachid community. They hold that either 1, 3, or 5. And then I have three shitos on the Chovas Tzibur community, and they require either 10, 7, or 6. V'hine, b'yeter biur, meaning let's go into more detail. Yesh lefarish. The elu de savri de tzarch gimel, according to the shita that you require 3 shalosh shavu humishum de ledover shebekedusha tzarch echad hamazmin es hachirim lomar dover shebekedusha. This is unbelievable. He's saying, forget about the halacha of asara as a requirement in Dover Shavik Tusha. There's another element in Dover Shavik Tusha, another dimension, another requirement. And that's called hazmana. Hazmana means that I invite you and you, and together we form a unit, to respond. In other words, I call out, I do the invitation, he calls it mazmin, and you do the aniya. And this is based on a pasuk he says that says v'kara zel zev yamar, that in kedusha one calls over to the others and they respond. Ulahachi, he says, according to this hashita disagi begimel, that you need 3 who haven't heard kedusha mishum disavra, that shita holds the tzarech b'machayev, and as in order to set up this chiyuv, one of the conditions is that Echad yazmin lefachot shnayim achirim. Then one has to invite another 2. Ukemoshe matzinu bezimun, just like we find in Birkas Hamazon in Zimun, that one has to invite 2. So too in Kedusha, one has to invite 2. Like I was noticing, he doesn't point it out, that if you take a look at the nusach of Birkas Yotzer Ma'oros, which has a Kedusha in it, you'll notice that the Malachim are calling to each other, and they're asking Rishus to gather together. So maybe that's Halachim Hazmona. I was thinking even in the Sias Kapayim, you know, you have to yell out Kohanim, maybe you'll be Mazmin the Kohanim, you know, get ready for Birkas Kohanim. But in any event, he said, "V'zesa sofer v'sagi v'echol levad." Right? They quote Rashi as saying that one person is enough. He didn't hear kedusha. Mishum disavar deha echad shechayev yochel lahazmin acherim af she'ein haacherim chayovim shekvar shavu. No, so I can invite you to join me, even though you have already fulfilled your obligation of kedusha. Okay, so we have now machlokas regarding 1 or 3. The one the Amr says he cried 3 who didn't hear Kedusha, because this Hazmana in the Dorosh of Kedusha requires that one invite another 2, and together we form a unit, all of us are Chayev. In the other frame of reference, one is enough because I can be Mazmin, I can fulfill the Hazmana element of Dorosh of Kedusha by inviting 2 people, even if they've already fulfilled their Chiv. Now we're up to the third opinion, Vizesh Yisara Chamisha. So why do you need 5? Gee. At this point, you know, I would have said, come on, there's no way I can figure this out. So listen to what he says. It's just one line, but I was fascinated. He says, the afal gav de kedusha vichoves yachid, even though it's my individual chiyuv, eino yachol lachuf ulachriach es hacherim im heim rov ulahazmin es harov lomadovashim kedusha. In other words, my hazmana is now going to go all the way to encompass the entire tzibur, and I don't have the right to be machriach the rov. This sounds like democracy almost. You know, I can't impose my will on the rov. So if we have 5, then I'm not imposing my will on the rov. And lachen b'mokum davi mechtzu mechtzu. This half and half. She'ein rov hatzibur. We don't have a rov tzibur. She'ein chayovim. No, I'm not imposing myself on the rov that. Hey, buddy. You know, this is your problem, not mine. I already heard kedusha, so I'm not imposing myself on a rov. And therefore, basically, I can be mazmin chamisha, and then the five will be mazmin the other chamisha. Okay, so all this is if you hold that the chi of kedusha is on the yachin. And now the question is how to implement it in terms of getting a hazmana and gathering together the other people. Ulam, however, das hanach rishon should not do the tzok shisha or shiva or asara. Haynu rishon de savri davi chovas tzibur. Uvishum hachi. Everybody agrees that you need either an entire tzibur, which is made up of 10. And he has a long discussion about that, but we won't get into that now. Or at least I need rov tzibur, derubo kikulo. We have a principle of rubo kikulo, and that's enough to say dama shebe kedusha. Oh, if that be the case, then all I need is 6, right? El dinechleku. What is the machlok between 6 and 7? Im hamazmin yachol lios nichlal. The rov hatzibur. Notice we need that rov hatzibur to establish a tzibur. And now the question is, where is the mazmin, the one who invites the tzibur? Is he part of the tzibur and he's inviting himself as well, or he has to invite the rov tzibur and he's not part of the tzibur? So if that be the case, if he's out of the tzibur, right? It's like we remember we spoke about the avelim, right? That the avelim have to get the menachemim to say the bracha, but he himself, the avel, is not part of it. He's not part of the tzibur. Im kein lefizesh tzarch shiva shalosh shava. We need 7 who haven't heard kiddush. Aval im amazmin nichlal betochat tzibur mevela sagi b'shisha. And then he writes la locha kaimel adafilu echad shalosh shava baruchu kiddusha b'kadosh yochel lomar baruchu kiddusha kadosh b'minyan, but not for chazoras hashatz. And he says ayin magen avram simen samach test. That as far as chazoras hashatz is concerned, we need whatever we need, whether it's 6 or 7, whatever the number is. Aval yesh l'stapik l'gabi kriyas ha-Torah. Yitzorach ha-sorah shelo shomu ha-Torah. Do we need 10 people who haven't heard the kriya? O rubam, or is it enough to have most, in other words, let's say 6. O desagi bi echad shelo shomu. That one person didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah and he can gather together at Tzibur. V'ayin bazeh b'chayi Adam shenestapik bazeh. The Chayi Adam vacillates on this point. V'zeh l'shon atzorech iyanim kulam shamu Kriyas HaTorah v'yesh eze ben Adam shalo shama im mutu likros oda pam b'shvilo. Can we read the Torah again for one purpose, one person? And he says the following. V'lo domi l'prisas shma. He says, even though in Kiddush and Baruch and the like, since the Yochid is Chayev, he has to gather together another 9 people to fulfill his obligation. But here, in the case of Kriyas HaTorah, Hachiv Urak Shahatzibu Yishma HaTorah, V'chachomim Tiknu Mishum Hatzibu, V'lo Tiknu Imkein El Kshekol Hatzibu Chayov B'Kriya. In order to create a tzibur that's chayav in Kriyas HaTorah, there's no obligation incumbent on the individual. You need that the entire tzibur is obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. Avolo korim b'shvil ha-yachid. And the Chayi Adam ends with v'tzarech iyun. He doesn't come to any conclusion. So this is fascinating because I think he's wondering whether Kriyas HaTorah. You know, we've had a long discussion here about Kaddish and Kiddush and Baruch Hu. Where does Kriyas HaTorah fit in?
Even beginning in Megillah.
Correct. So the Ramban, if you remember, in order to answer the question of the Malach Mor, why Kriyas HaMegillah was omitted from that Mishnah, he says because Kriyas HaMegillah is a Chovas Yachid, and you only need the Tzibur in order to fulfill and implement Yachid. But in all the cases listed in that Mishnah, it's a Chovas Tzibur. So if you go with the Ramban, I'm not sure if the Chayi Adam was aware of this Ramban, but if you go with that Ramban, then for sure you need a Tzibur that's Chayi for the individual. We're not going to read Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is listed in the Mishnah because the Chovas Tzibur.
I'm saying we put that in the beginning of Megillah, Maseches Megillah. I remember we discussed that in when we were talking about Megillah in terms of in coming from the farm coming in. if there were how many people coming in from the Kvarim also, whether it was a Chovas Tzibor or
right.
So,
I don't remember all the details, but I would like to assume that Kriyas HaMegillah is certainly a Chovas Yochid. What about Kriyas HaTorah?
That's not the Zmano, so then it would be a Chovas Tzibor.
No, not necessarily. That's the point, that even Shalom Zmano might be a Chovas Yochid.
The Rabban was answering the Baal HaMor's question that whether it's Bismana, Shalom Bismana, Koin to Ravasi, Koin to Rav, Marad Kid Isli, it should have been listed in the Mishnah because you need Asaras. And Rabban says, no, it's a Chovas Yochid, just I have to gather together the other nine. So I'd like to believe that Kriyas HaMegillah is a Chovas Yochid. That's what I'd like to believe. That's my intuitive sense. But in terms of Kriyas HaTorah, I'm not sure. So Rav Soloveitchik used to tell us that his grandfather Rav Chaim, if he was on a train from Brisk to Bialystok and he was missing Kriyas HaTorah, we'd get off in the middle of the train ride in order to catch a minion that was hearing, so he could hear Kriyas HaTorah. As he understood that it's a Chovas Yochid, which according to the Chayonim is one side of the Chayonim, that every single individual has to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. But the Rabban clearly is of the opinion that it's a Chovas Tzibur. Hence the Chayonim suggest that maybe we would need 10 people who have not heard Kriyas HaTorah. Anyway, just to give you the tip of the iceberg, I mean, he goes on and on and on. There's another piece here which Billy Nether I'd like to do maybe on Sunday, and that's about the minion of aliyos. How many aliyos do we call up? In other words, we call up 3 people on certain days, on other days we 4, 5, 6, 7 and so forth. So he has a piece on that. Okay then? I hope you enjoyed that. I mean, I find it fascinating that you can take a sugya like this and even begin to analyze it. It's like so challenging. Right, so let's see where we're up to now. On Daf Chav Dalid Amud Aleph. Let's just see. So we're up to the Gemara about Diluk. So the question is the following. That is there a possibility in Kriyas HaTorah of incorporating different parashios in the Kriya? And the same question is going to apply with regard to reading the Haftorah. Can we read the Haftorah from various chapters or various sections in the Nach, in the Nevi'im? So far what we've seen, and the Gemara starts here on the fourth line, is that Gemara establishes that you need 3 psukim. That always has to be. And the Gemara says it's Keneged Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. And then the Gemara says the following, that as far as reading Psukim is concerned, so there's a problem if you read all 3 Psukim continuously without taking a breath of air. Why? Because we have a Takon of Ezra called the Miturgamon. Now, if you were to read 3 psukim continuously, then the Miturgamon would have to translate 3 psukim continuously as one unit. And the Gemara says that we're afraid that perhaps he might get confused because he can't remember all 3 psukim.
Right.
So the Gemara says the following. There's going to be a difference between Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftorah from Navi. In the case of the Kriyas HaTorah, we're going to have the Kore read one pasuk, wait for the Mitargen to translate that pasuk, and go on. And we explained yesterday that that's because of a chashash of a tos behora, meaning that sometimes what we read in the Torah could have a practical impact. You know, there are mitzvahs that we read in the Torah. There are tayyad mitzvahs. So it's very critical that the people who didn't understand the Lashon Kodesh and only understood the Targum, they would be clear and they would understand it well. So if we're going to confuse the Miturgamon and ask him to translate a whole bunch of psukim in one shot, he might get confused, he doesn't remember all the details, and he would mistranslate. But in the case of Nevi'im, the Gemara says that we're not so worried about mistakes, and therefore you could read 3 psukim and then have the Mitargem translate those 3 psukim as one. And if in the worst case scenario he makes a mistake, then it's usually about what we call hashpa, meaning to try to inspire the people and to give them musr and so forth and so on, but it's not a horas mice. So therefore we could be less careful when it comes to the Targum of the Nevi'im. Okay. Now, as far as the mention that the subject that we mentioned before, that in Navi you could read 3 psukim, The Mishnah goes ahead and establishes the following requirement. It has to be three psukim from one parsha. However, in the case of Navi, as opposed to Chumash, as opposed to Kriyas HaTorah, you can have three psukim being read from three different parshios. And what does this mean? So yesterday we had a long discussion in the name of the Ran. The Ran doesn't mean that we jump from one parsha to the other, but rather what it means is that each pasuk might have a different subject matter, might be a different, what he calls in Yonim Chalukim, that's the Lashon of the Ran, in Yonim Chalukim. And in the case of Nevi'im, we are permitted to read psukim continuously, even though each pasuk has an inyan chaluk. And the Gemara goes through an entire section in Yeshayahu HaNavi. I don't know if you remember this from yesterday. We went through the three psukim, and we showed that each pasuk has a different inyan. Then the Mishnah said, and I'm just summarizing what we did yesterday, so we can pick it up today, that midalgim b'Navi v'ein midalgim b'Torah. And the Gemara says, what do you mean, ein midalgim b'Torah? That you're not allowed to skip from one parsha to the other. How about the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Yuma Daf Samaches, that he would start by reading the parsha of Achrimos, then he would jump to the parsha of Achba Asar. So the first parsha had to do with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The second parsha had to do with, in Parshas Emor, the Iser Moloch and the Iser Inui on Yom HaKippurim. There's a third parsha that he read, but that's not relevant to us now, and that's at the end of Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas. That's the parsha of the Korban Musaf. But as far as the basic Avodas Hayom, the Shnei Aseirim, etc., that's incorporated in Parshas Achrimos. So the Gemara asks the question, how come in Daleg? How could he do such a thing? How could in one Kriya he jump from Parshas Achrimos to Parshas Emor, Hakamid Daleg, and this is Kriyas HaTorah. In Navi, that would be acceptable, but not in Torah. So Abai gives an answer, and that's what we studied yesterday. And then the Gemara today, which we didn't do yet, is going to reject Abai. Abai says that even in the case of Kriyas HaTorah, apparently, based on the mission of Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, which he read in the Ezra's Noshim, we can allow to go from one parsha to the other. In the case of the Kohen Gadol, from Parshas Achrimos to Parshas Emor. However, what we need is that the two parshios be close, right? In other words, Achrimos and Emor are very close to each other. How close are they? What's the shear of smichus, of kiru? Bechdeshi yifsol kamiturgamon. In other words, that it would take just the amount of time for the Meturgamon to translate the previous pasuk, the last pasuk. By the time he finishes the Tirgum of that pasuk, let's say it takes 3 seconds, I don't know how many seconds it takes, they've already were able to be Megolel, they did the Glila on the Sefer Torah, from the first Parsha to the other. So to do Glila from Parshas Achrimos to Parshas Emor is going to take less than the amount of time it would take for the Metargim to be Metargim that very last pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. And that means that we're very worried, we're very concerned about Kavanat Tzibur, we don't want the Tirchon the Tzibura, and we don't want the Tzibur to have to wait until they get to the second Parsha. But if the two Parshios are near each other, close proximity, then we have Dilug even in Torah. The Gemara rejects that, and that's what we're up to today. So if you take a look on Daf Chav Dalet Omen Aleph, you're going to count down. Let's see how many. Well, you know what? Maybe we could start from the Mishnah, and we can count up from the Mishnah approximately 10 lines. And what you're looking for is a line that starts Hamiturgamon. You have that, and then it says Vaha Allah. So again, if you're counting up from the Mishnah, which hopefully we'll get to in just 2 minutes, then you're counting up approximately 9-10 lines, and you'll see Vaha Allah Katani. And at this point, the Gemara is going to reject Abaye. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Midalgim b'Navi, v'ein Midalgim b'Torah. That even though in Navi, we're allowed to go from one Navi to another Navi, but not in Torah. And it says, V'adkamu medalig, in the case of Navi, how much leeway are we going to give you for Dilug? Ad kinesh lo yifsal katur gavon. As long as the Dilug can be achieved, again, they used to read the Navi, some people even today, the Talmidim of the Gra here in Israel, it's quite popular, they'll read the Navi from a cloth. So if they want to read from one section to the other, like for example, we do this very often on a Tainus, you know, we go from one to another, then we're allowed to do so as long as we can do the Glila within the amount of time that it would take for the Meturgamon to finish his Tirgum of the last section. Michlal, it seems that B'Torah, with regard to Torah, Klalu Klalo. In other words, when we set up this shear within which a short amount you're allowed to do this dilug, we only set it up as far as Navi. Apparently there was an absolute rule that with regard to Torah, there was no heter at all for dilug. And Omar Abaye, so Abaye has to reiterate, he has to backtrack and come up with another justification for the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, who went from Parshas Achrimos to Parshas Emor. And the Mishnah says, "Ein bedalgi b'novi." How do you reconcile that with our Mishnah? The Lokasha. Kan b'inyon echad, kan b'shtei inyonos. When the Kohen Gadol was medalig on Yom HaKippurim, it was b'inyon echad. In other words, there was one single theme, and that's the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim, and the Kedusha Yom HaKippurim splits into different dimensions, different elements. There's the element of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim as a unique Avoda that only applies once in the year, and that we read in Achrimos. But then there's another element, another dimension to the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim, and that is the Isur Malach on Yom HaKippurim. The Isur Malach and the Isur Inui, and those are incorporated in Parshas Emor. Just one second. And what we're saying is the following. That when our Mishnah says, Ein Medalgim in Torah, that's only B'shtei in Yonos. If they're two separate themes, and the tzibur has to understand one theme and then comprehend another theme, so dilug b'shtei in yonos, even if it was done within a very short amount of time, would confuse the people. But if the people are hearing one inyan, which means they want to know, well, what's unique about Yom HaKippurim, what sets up Yom HaKippurim as a special day with its own sanctity, and there may be two answers to that question written in two different parashios, then as long as those two parashios are in close proximity, so we fulfill the requirement of Kidei Shlo Yifso Katur Gaman. So here's the difference between Navi and Torah, right? The Mishnah says, Medalgim in Navi Vein Medalgim in Torah. And it means the following. Basically, both Navi and Torah lend themselves to Diluk. However, there's one condition that's common to both, and there's another condition that only applies to Torah. The one condition for allowing Dilug that applies to both Navi and Torah is going to be Kadesh Yifso Kamaturgamon. And therefore the two parashas that we're reading have to be very close and contiguous. Then there's another condition that only applies in the case of Torah, and that's what? It has to be Chad Inyan. It has to be one theme, and you can have one theme that's split into different parashios, and that's what we learn from the mission of Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, and he reads Achrimos, and he reads Ach B'Yasol HaChodesh, and those form one theme. However, two themes, even if they're contiguous in the Torah, meaning there's only a short skip and jump from one parasha to the other, that's a medalgim b'Torah. And why is that? Because two themes is going to confuse the people. That condition does not apply in the case of Navi, because in the case of Navi, the entire reading of a Navi goes from one theme to the other. We saw that again yesterday in Parsha, in the section in Yeshayahu and Beis, where each pasuk addresses a different theme. And since the general concept of Navi is just to inspire the people, whether it means to castigate them for sins and inspire them to be more meticulous, whether it means to console them and give them faith and optimism for the ultimate geula, that comfort and nechama of the Nevi'im, whatever it is, there may be different facets to those dimensions, but we're not worried about confusion. And even in the worst case scenario, that let's say the people would get confused, there's no great loss. Go ahead.
So, because in the Torah, you'll go from topic to topic sometimes, as long as you're not skipping anything, that's okay, you're just reading Torah. But what about a minyan where you only have one Torah and they have a mafkir that's in a different, you know, like it's one of those special parshiot or something where they have a mafkir that's in a different section, and they have to then write Rosh Chodesh. They have to.
You mean that's not Bechdeshi Yifsak HaMetur? Come on, is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean they're going from right. One. You know, they have to sit there.
So I'll tell you what I would say in that case. I don't know that anyone does this, so don't take me seriously. Like, but I think that the second Sefer Torah should be prepared immediately.
I'm saying you only have one Sefer Torah.
Oh, so then I don't know. Then you get into the following question: is there mechila on Kavarat Tzibur? Meaning, what are we talking about now? Let's go slowly. Yeah. Are we talking about Kavarat Tzibur? In other words, we talking about the fact that it's going to take longer than Kidei Sheyifsa Kamatagamon, or are you talking about Shtei Inyonos?
Yes.
If you're talking about Kidei Sheyifsa Kamatagamon, that I think I could live with. Why? Because that's an Indian of Kavarat Tzibur. So in this case, maybe the Tzibur is Mochel, if there's Mechila of the Tzibur. I don't know. But the second question, that's even more profound. Well, actually, what does the Kriya of the Parsha have to do with... Yes, so I'll tell you what it is. The answer to your question, I can give a coin to one man the Omer, but I think in this machlokes we accept that one man the Omer. But we had a machlokes about the maftir itself. Do you remember that? Whether the maftir is ol l'shul. Right. Were you there? I don't know. That may be the day you missed us.
Yeah, that was one day.
Yes. So you have to hear the tape. I'm just kidding. What's the deal? The question
is. Yeah,
Good. I'm excited. You know, I never know who's listening to me. But in the case of Maftir, what my Yomar says, the Maftir is actually part and parcel of the Kriya Satorah. And therefore, you can call up six people and then the Maftir, and you reach your magic number of seven. The other my Yomar says, no. That the maftir is really just in order that we shouldn't have shavu b'shavu, meaning we shouldn't have the reading of the Navi, because you require the same 21 psukim for Navi that you require for the Kriyas HaTorah if you multiply three times seven. Right, so if you have three, let's say you have seven crew and each one gets three psukim, so the minimum amount of psukim for Kriyas HaTorah, even on Shabbos, would be 21, and the minimum for Haftorah of Navi is also 21. So the Gemara is worried about Shabbat B'Shabbat. And therefore they added the maftir. What did they add the maftir? To make sure that there are more psukim that you read in the Torah than you read in the Navi. Because we don't want the Torah to be insulted, and people will come to the mistaken conclusion that the Kedushas Navi is the same, it's equal to the Kedushas HaTorah. So if we paskin that the maftir is not part of the Shiva, which I think how do we paskin, then I think I have another answer to your question. That all these dinim that enjoin us from doing dilu, they only apply within the framework of the Kriyas HaTorah. The maftir really belongs to the Haftorah.
That's
why the maftir is the one who reads the Haftorah. That's not coincidental.
You say Chatzin Kaddish in between. So already that's...
Well, I wonder if you hold that it's been a minyan, I don't think they would have a Chatzin Kaddish, but we don't pass it like that.
We do have, every now and then, a situation though where you'll have the seventh part, like when you have one of the Arba Parshiyot that falls on Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, you have the three.
Then you have a
kasha.
That would actually be.
That's a good kasha. That you'll have to write an essay on that. So let's just finish up to the Mishnah. So the Mitzvah Shem on Sunday, mm-hmm. We can do the Mishnah. Hatanya will bring a brisa to support Rabbi Abaye, and the brisa says Medalgim b'Torah binyan echad. That within one theme, you're allowed to be medalik b'Torah. Ubinavi b'shnei inyanim. In Navi, you could even go from one theme to the other, but we still have a basic condition for both Torah and Navi. Khan v'khan, whenever you're doing dilug, is b'chdeshol yifsal katurgamon, and that's because of Kavarat Tzibur. The Gemara now brings another brisa with regard to dilug in Navi. Tanya Edok, we have another brisa. Ein medalgami Navi with Navi. Generally speaking, even though we do allow dilug in Navi, and it could be multi-thematic, as long as it's close, but that's only within one Navi. So for example, within Yoshua, we could be medallic from part of Yoshua to another part of Yoshua, but not from Yoshua to Shoftim, because that's already too confusing for the people. You know, here we started reading Yoshua, which has its own personality, and now you're reading Shoftim, that's it. Ubinavi shall shnei masar, but the exception is what we call treyasar. Treyasar is medalik. You can be medalik from one book of Treyasar to another book of Treyasar. Why is that? Because Treyasar is considered like one sefer, even though it's 12 different neviim, but it's one. It's one sefer. Ubelvad shlo yedalik misofa sefer litchilasa. But even in the case of Treyasar, even there we have a restriction. You don't read the end of one of the books and the beginning of the other books. And on this we have a machlokes, two days. Yesh omrim, shedafka mi navi li navi lo medagil mafreya. Oh, this is another issue. He wants to know that in a case where you do allow dilug, like from one navi to the other, for example, in the case of Treyasar, are you allowed to do it lo mafreya? In other words, can you read a later book of Treyasar and then read an earlier book of Treyasar? So yesh omrim, no. Lo medalgim l'mafreya, even we allow dilug, but it's not l'mafreya going backwards.
Right.
Is therefore, you're not allowed to do it in two different neviim of Treyasar. Al benavi echad, if you're within one navi, then you can do dilug even out of sequence. That's according to one madiyam. That's the case of Mishnah's opinion. But yesh omrim is the Karpin Asanel's opinion. Hafilu benavi echad, even within one navi, that we're going to allow dilug. Like, for example, from the beginning of Yeshua to the end of Yeshua, Ledugma, he says, Ein medalgim yisofo l'tchilos. So, no, you can't go backwards. Start with the end of the book, and then go back to the beginning of the book.
What's interesting, it sounds like...
I'm going to just get my stuff together.
Nowadays, everything is established. We don't do any, let's just decide what parsha we're reading today, or, you know, what we're going to read from Nevi'im today. It's all established, but it sounds like back then there was more flexibility. No, you know what? We're this Shabbos, we're going to add these parts. We're going to do this and nothing.
Right. In today's day, there's very little room for simultaneity.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, Ramosa?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.